May the Lord help us to worship Him, bless Him with hymn number one. Number one. Great God, how infinite art thou, what worthless worms are we. Let the whole race of creatures bow and pay their praise to thee. Hymn number one.
From the Word of God, we turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. One for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. When they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him like whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. When they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him from him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, "The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And the third day he shall be raised again." And they were exceeding sorry. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He saith, "Yes." When he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or strangers?" Peter said unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus said unto him, "Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook. Take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, give unto them for me and thee." Lord, bless to us the reading of his word and help us in prayer. Most gracious God, help us as we meet again around thy word to worship thee, that great almighty God that we've been singing of in our opening hymn. Pour out thy Spirit from on high, that we may be in a court worshippers around thy feet. We may bring thee praise and adoration and glory due to thy holy name. That we may crown thee Lord of all. Speak unto us this afternoon. And bless our souls and feed them with the bread and water of life. And although this engagement was not made in the normal way of things, when engagements were made last year, yet, Lord, could it please you to rule and overrule, that it may be evident that this was thy engagement. Remember thy servant who should have been standing in this pulpit, and grant unto him thy healing mercies and that restoration to full health and strength. And may he soon be restored to the pulpit. Bless him and bless him in his pastorate and bless him in his ministry. And bless all thy servants this day, those who are labouring in thy name, and any, Lord, who may be laid aside. Lord, may they still know thy blessing, even though they cannot preach this day. And do come, Lord, and meet with us. Pour out thy blessing upon us. Even life forevermore. And grant, Lord, that we may be given that faith we've read of. Lord, we've read that even a grain of mustard seed faith can do great things. And Lord, how often must we confess that our faith is not even that big? Lord, give us saving faith in thee. And then, Lord, increase that faith so that we may be people of great faith. And may, Lord, we bring forth much fruit of thy Spirit to thy praise and glory and honor. Follow with thy blessing the reading service in the morning hour of worship. May there be a following on this afternoon. And may what was read be blessed and be remembered by those who heard it for a long time to come. And may, Lord, the word fasten into their hearts and bring forth fruit. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy mercies to us. And Lord, on this day of remembrance, we thank thee for all thy mercies in time past, in deliverance in two world wars, and in other conflicts also. We thank thee, Lord, for that peace that we enjoy, and for the deliverances thou hast granted to this nation. We pray, Lord, that we as a nation may yet know where the secret of our strength lies. And that as a nation we may be turned back to thee, the God of our mercies. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst pour thy blessing out upon this land and upon our rulers, and put thy fear in their heart. And grant, Lord, unto them and unto us that true living faith, to believe, to come, to trust. Grant that true repentance. Grant that true looking unto Jesus and following him. Fill the churches, we pray, with poor, hungry sinners, knowing their need. And may that need be supplied through thy word. And bless, Lord, thy church as it does gather today. And grant, Lord, that this may be a day when thou dost visit the garden of thy church. That thou dost pour out thy blessing upon it. That thou wilt confirm thine inheritance when it is weary. And thou wilt call by grace those dead in sin. That thou wilt strengthen the life of faith to those whom thou hast given it. Thou wilt command thy blessing, even life forevermore. Bless, we pray, this church and people. Do watch over and be with them. Build them up in their most holy faith. Add to them in church fellowship, and add to them in congregational fellowship also. And grant, Lord, that there may be that building up, there may be that growth, there may be that, as it were, year of Jubilee, when thou dost work greatly and that work is seen. Bless the children, put thy fear in their hearts. Bless the labours of the Sabbath school here. May, Lord, what is sown in their hearts be remembered and be an influence and a guide to them all their life long through. Help parents to bring up children. Help them to set a right example. Help them to bring them to thee in prayer. Lord, may they live to see those prayers answered abundantly. May they see thee far excelling what they have even asked for. Lord, may the young be raised up as a generation to continue the worship of thy name here and in other causes of truth. Bless those further on in the journey of life. Grant help in business life with the many cares and burdens and needs and concerns. Grant help in family life. And do be with them and help them, bless them. Their various needs. Remember one known to many here in hospital, and do grant unto him that restoration, we pray, and bless the means used for his recovery, and may he know a blessing in his own soul. And Lord, may these things be a reminder to us of how we all need to be kept. How fragile life sometimes is. Be with any, Lord, here who need thee in any special way. Any, Lord, who've brought any secret burden, secret need, secret trouble, known only to thee and to them. Lord, do supply what they need this day. Remember those in the evening time of life. Help them, Lord, to lean on thee. Help them, Lord, to know that word true, my strength made perfect in weakness. Help them, Lord, to rely on the fact that thou dost never grow weak, even though they may. Grant, Lord, thine aged people grace in old age, and to honour thee. Grant them, Lord, the patience they need, the help they need, the endurance they need, the comfort that they need. And grant that preparation for a long eternity. May it be spent with thee. Bless thee, deacons, and help them in their responsibilities. And give them all needed wisdom and grace in that office. And bless each church member. And be with them and help them. May they be knit together in a loving union. May that union abide. May grace flow. And love flow from heart to heart. We ask, Lord, thy help then this day. Pour out thy blessing, pour out thy spirit upon us. Open the treasures of thy word and grant power in the preaching and power in the hearing. We ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn number 35. 35. Come, thou almighty King, help us thy name to sing, help us to praise. Father all glorious, or all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Hymn number 35.
turn with the Lord's help to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 5. Matthew, chapter 17, verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Here we have the voice of God the Father speaking to Peter and James and John, declaring his beloved Son to them and his good pleasure in him. Jesus had been transfigured before them. For a brief moment, they saw him in all his glory, insofar as poor, frail man can bear it. His face did shine as the sun, his raiment was white as the night. Well, if that was a glorious sight there, it must surely be even more glorious now, for heaven was brighter still. The glory of Emmanuel's land, the light in which the redeemed dwell, that perfect, pure, holy, eternal light, the light of God itself. And that light completely eclipsed Moses and Elias, who were talking with Jesus. And one of the other Gospels says that the thing they were talking about was his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. What a blessed theme that is. A theme which never wears out. That is the sum and the substance of the conversation between the redeemed in heaven. What Christ has done and what he is. This voice came in answer to Peter, saying, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make us here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." And this voice is a response, saying to the disciples that the Lord Jesus is far above Moses and Elias. Yes, Moses and Elias were great men, among the greatest. But the Lord Jesus is greater still. And before him all knees must bow. Peter wanted to stay there. But he couldn't stay there, could he? It wasn't the Lord's will that he should stay there or that the Lord should stay there either. The Lord had to accomplish what he'd been talking about. if Peter, James and John were to get to heaven? This, God the Father says, this is my beloved Son. That Son who I love. With a divine love. With an almighty love. With a holy love. With a perfect love. With an eternal love. He is the eternal Son of the eternal Father. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the uncreated God, the self-existent God, the eternal God. And that union that there is between them is a union of love, of affection, of harmony, of peace. It reigns and always has done and always will do. Perfect love. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God is well pleased with the work his Son has done. He is still well pleased in heaven this afternoon with the work his Son has done. A complete work, a perfect work, an all-sufficient work. A work which saves poor, wretched, ruined, undone sinners. I am well pleased, he says. In other words, I couldn't be more pleased. I couldn't be more satisfied. God here in his infinite justice looks at his beloved Son's life and ministry and work and example and deeds and says, I am completely satisfied. It fulfills my pleasure. It is good. It is right. It is holy. It is acceptable to me. It couldn't be better. This is what he's saying. I am well pleased. And the amazing thing is, God is well pleased with his people because of his Son. When God looks on his people, whether it is as a complete people or the individual members of it, he never looks at them outside of his beloved Son. He never looks at them as if they were detached from him, but he always looks at them through his Son. And he's well pleased with them. And the reason he is well pleased with them is because this life, of which he here is declaring is acceptable to him, was lived for them. Every stitch in that robe was stitched for them. For the beloved Son of the Father didn't need a righteousness in and of himself. He already was completely perfect, wholly righteous before he entered the womb of the Virgin Mary. From all eternity, his Father could have said this, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. His humanity and the righteousness of which he is here speaking of, it was created. It was begun, it was continued, and it was finished for poor, wretched sinners who've got no righteousness of their own. And the Father is well pleased with that work. And he is well pleased with those who are dressed in this righteousness. He could not be more pleased. Here's a miracle. Here is the marvel, child of God, that your heavenly Father could not be more well pleased with you. No, it's not that a wonder of grace? You're not well pleased with yourself often, are you? And nor should we be, because in and of ourselves we are nothing. We have nothing to boast of. Sin clings to us, and as it is our nature, it pollutes everything that we do. If there is any difference between us and the unbeliever, it is all of God's grace. In other words, it's all God's work. So in and of ourselves, we are nothing. But yet in Christ, his people are counted righteous. And as such, God in his justice, in his holiness, in his majesty, can look upon them and smile and say, I'm well pleased. Have you ever thanked God for his righteousness? It is right that we thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his precious blood. But how often have you thanked him for his righteousness? We should do, you know. It is just as vital. It is just as important. It is just as precious as his blood. It is a garment, believer, you will be privileged to wear forever in heaven. It's a garment that even now you wear by faith here below. It is a wedding garment. The proof that your name is written in heaven. The proof that you'll be there in that wedding feast, in that marriage supper of the Lamb. None who wear this garment will ever be left outside. None who do not wear it will ever be admitted. You remember the parable of that man who came in without a wedding garment. You see, in Eastern customs, it was the tradition, and it may still be, that in a Jewish wedding, when the invitation was sent out, the host of the invitation would send out the garments which he wanted the guests to wear. And each guest was provided free of charge with a garment, paid for at the cost entirely of the host of the wedding. So this man who came in with his own garment, he was insulting the host. He was saying that his own garment was either better or at least as good. Or he was saying that the garment which the host had provided wasn't quite good enough. And although it must have been pretty similar to look at, to the actual original, because the man got in and it was all right until the host came. but he knew the difference. Friend, how camest thou in hither without a wedding garland? And he was speechless, cast out. Beloved friend, the garment of your self-righteousness will never do as a wedding garment to this feast. And of course, Satan deceives us into thinking we must try and earn salvation and try and work for it. And many very diligently and sincerely spend their lives trying to do just that. But beloved friend, if that's what you're doing, that is not the fruit of faith, it's the fruit of unbelief. Because by that very act, you are showing that you are not resting in what Christ has done, you're resting in what you've done. And while it may be very comfortable here, it will not be after death. It will not do. When you need it most, God cannot look upon you and say, I am well pleased with you. Because by appearing before him dressed in your self-righteousness, you are insulting him. And you're saying that what he has provided in his beloved son is not good enough. That is why God finds offensive when we trust our own self-righteousness, which of course clings to us. We need to ask God to give us that grace to renounce our own righteousness and to cling and to cleave to Christ's. Because Christ's righteousness is sufficient. It can't be improved. It can't be bettered. Yes, we should seek to obey God's law, but not to earn salvation, not to rest in it, not to rely upon it, not to think well of what we have done. We should obey the law of God because God says so, and out of love to him. And that should be the only reason. Love to him and love to his law. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. In order to hear him, first of all, we need to have life. It is impossible for a dead person to hear anything. No matter how loud you might speak or shout, no matter what gentle, pleasing words you may say, or what words of warning you might give, you would not get any response because they wouldn't hear you. They can't hear you. They're dead. Those who are dead in unbelief will never hear until they are given this divine life, the root of grace in the soul, the work of the Holy Spirit within, the new birth, as Christ calls it. Until that event takes place, we cannot hear. The second thing we need is ears to hear. If we were alive but deaf, we wouldn't be able to hear either. Again, no matter how loud one might speak, or how sweet, comforting words might be spoken. If we were deaf, we couldn't hear them. It is one of the most vital prayers then for us to pray, Lord, give me life, give me spiritual hearing, give me spiritual sight. Hear ye him. And notice, he doesn't just say hear him, he says hear ye him. He could not bring it more individual, more to the person. And this is what real religion is. It is between God and you. That's what real religion is. It is a relationship between God and you. It is God teaching you, and you receiving his teaching. Have you got any religion, really, which is of value, or not? I leave that question with you. Take that one home and pray over it. And if the answer is no, ask God to begin with you. Hear ye him. And what will we hear? Well, first of all, we'll hear his voice in creation. He will bring us to know that he is who he says he is, Almighty God. Our Almighty King, as our second hymn calls him, Come Thou Almighty King. Have you ever heard God as your Almighty King? That one who created you. And therefore that one to whom you owe your existence to, and therefore you owe your absolute total allegiance and obedience to. Because he created us, he therefore has an absolute right to rule and to govern over us, and to dictate and guide, and to say what we should or should not do. Hear ye him. When you're given this hearing, that is one of the things you will hear and be brought to acknowledge. God is your King. You'll acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as God. You'll worship him as God. A great God, a holy God, an almighty God. That one who has all knowledge of everything, who has perfect understanding of all your life. That God who hears every word you ever speak. Who sees everything you ever do. And that can be an encouraging and also a restraining word. He marks a secret groan and cry and prayer. He also hears the unclean, the untrue, and the unkind word. Hear ye him. Remember, he hears you. What has he heard this week? Hear ye him. We will be brought to know something of our unrighteousness. You know a view of God by faith. A view of Christ's righteousness by faith will make you realize something of your own unrighteousness. It will be like a mirror. The more you look at Christ's righteousness, the more you'll realize how unrighteous you are. who know something of conviction of sin. How much God is a sovereign. Some work is a gentle work and a quick work. Some, it is a very deep work and it lasts many years. I heard once of a man in one of our chapels now gone to glory. He apparently was in conviction of sin for 40 long years before he was delivered. A long time. But he was eventually delivered. Others, it is very brief. God is a sovereign. But the point is, all the Lord's people are brought to this point that they're sinners. And until we're brought to that point, we're not going to value Christ's righteousness, are we? If we don't think we're sinners, Christ will not mean anything to us. But if you feel unrighteous, unholy, impure, and realize that you can never do anything to make yourself what you should be, that will be when you'll need Christ, and that will be when you'll value Christ. That will be when you start to seek Christ. How many are seeking Christ? Go on to seek him. Continue to seek him. He has promised, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Three shells. Take those shells back to God and plead them. Remind him of them. And ask him for the honor and glory of his name to fulfill them for you. Don't let the devil discourage you into silence. Hear ye him. What a precious thing it is when you hear him say to you something like this, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. When he says to you words like this, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And by faith you can read your pardon there in the wounds of Jesus. When he says words to you like this, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And if he's upholding you, his arms of covenant mercy and love and almighty strength are underneath you, supporting you so you don't fall, guiding you so you don't go wrong. If he's upholding you, you can't go wrong. Does not matter how weak you are. What matters is the strength in the arms which are holding you. And they're almighty. And they're never going to grow any weaker. Hear ye him. And when by faith you are able to consider those arms. You'll go strong in faith and there'll be nothing you can't do then. I can do all things, said one, through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He also said, without me, ye can do nothing. Without Christ, we can't do anything. It's impossible. But with Christ, He will enable you to seek and to find. He will give you that gift of repentance. He will give you that faith, that hope, that love. He'll give you that strength and that willingness and that ability to obey and to follow. Hear ye him. Hear ye him when he says, "But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel." There you have the two natures. Jacob, the old nature, the name he was born with. We've all got a Jacob, have we not? He that formed thee, O Israel, the name God gave to him that night when he wrestled with the angel. Believer, you've done some wrestling this week in the dark hours, have you not? You too have known what it is this week to be left alone. You've known Jacob's trouble. Now you're going to know Jacob's God. And you're going to know that, like the Jacob of old, he will deliver you. And he'll surname you by the same name as he surnamed Jacob, Israel. An Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And what does he say to you this afternoon? Let's quote it exactly. "Fear not. Fear not the future. Fear not the present. Fear not the past. Fear not all those who are coming against you. Fear not the devil. Fear not that catalogue of sins he is even now trying to discourage you with. Fear not those who may even now be opposing you and who are going to continue to oppose you this week. Those Esau's that are in your path which you can't escape from. But with the Lord's fear not. You have almighty strength and power on your side which that Esau can never claim to have. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Fear not." And then here is the reason why. "For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Purchased by him. And once redeemed, you can never be unredeemed. It is an irreversible pardon, this redemption. God's work cannot be undone. No matter what Satan says, no matter what your old nature is, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I've called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Thou art mine forever. Thou art mine now, this afternoon, in Swavesey Chapel. Thou art going to be mine this coming week. As you tread the rugged, lonely, difficult road, you're still going to be mine. And I'm still going to be the God of all comfort and the giver of all grace. And that one in your time of need to whom you can turn to. Hear ye him. When thou passest through the waters, and if ever you need to hear him, it will be then. Hearing him above the waters. because the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. When thou passest through the waters, and again it's a certainty here, when, not if, but the fear not's already come before. God's already prepared you for it. He's already got the strength you need. Even though you can't feel it, the arms of almighty strength and love are already underneath you. Fear thou not. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Rivers are faster flowing, are they not? So that's more difficult to pass through than still water. You perhaps feel like you're going to be swept off your feet. They shall not overflow thee. Why? Because I will be with thee. And I am with thee, he says. That's why. And I will be with thee every step of them. When you go down into the shallows and when you get into the more deeper waters, I will be with thee. And I will bring you through them to the other side. And I'll be with thee there too. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. They shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. You've got to walk, not run, walk. You say, but it's not comfortable. It's not pleasant. I want to get through it as quickly as I can. But they're there for a reason. God has something to teach you. And you wouldn't learn it if you went through those fires running. You've got to walk through them. What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? But the fear not still holds good even in the fires, as well as in the waters. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. Hear ye him. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And you're going to prove the strength of that word never. Perhaps others will leave you. Perhaps those who you never thought would will forsake you. Perhaps like Jacob, you will literally feel to be left alone. It's in that lonely hour that you'll prove his promise true. Peter said it and couldn't fulfill it, didn't he? Though all men forsake thee, yet will not I. Jesus says it to his people and means it. Though all men forsake thee, yet will not I. Because his love is too great. His compassion is too deep. Hear ye him. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now. May some of you hear that word, come now. Come in humble faith, in prayer to the Saviour. Confess your sin to him. Ask him to receive you. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to give you this righteousness of which God has declared he is well pleased with. Ask him to apply his precious blood to you. Come now. You're not going to get any better by staying away. You're not going to improve. You're only going to get worse. Come now, he says. Hear ye him. And all who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Maybe that is what one of you are concerned with. You fear you're so vile and polluted that you will be cast out. Well, then take that word to him. I will in no wise cast out. And then take that word to him in Isaiah we are just quoting. Who is it spoken to? That one whose sins are scarlet and crimson. Scarlet and crimson, it stands out, doesn't it? It cannot be hidden. The eye is immediately attracted to it. And yet he says, come now, to that one. Just to that one. That very one. Who feels they can't come. Because their sins are scarlet and crimson. Why would he have said come to you if he was not going to receive you? Hear ye him. May you by faith be drawn to him. And prove his promise true that he does not cast out. Even those who are scarlet, crimson sinners. That precious blood can take all the scarlet and crimsonness of your soul. And make it whiter than snow. Why you say is it whiter than snow? I'll tell you why. Snow when it falls is white, isn't it? Couldn't be whiter. But it doesn't stay like that for long, does it? As soon as man touches it, it's soon polluted. And before very long, it's the very reverse of white. That's why the Lord says in his word, whiter than snow. His precious blood is not like that. And the pardon he gives is not like that. It is so powerful that not even your future sins that you will commit after you receive your pardon. Can in any way dim the whiteness, because that blood cleanses all sin when it is applied, past, present, and future. And the one who is given the pardon knows all those sins because he's been punished for them. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And then to that one this afternoon, who you've been able to trace out some of these promises, and you cannot deny they've been given you. You can remember that time when you were brought to know the Lord, when you were no more a stranger. When he raised you up to a good hope. When he said to you, fear not. And this afternoon he says to you, hear ye him. This do in remembrance of me. That is a word, a command, an invitation given to poor, wretched, fallen sinners. It was never given to angels because it wasn't for them. It is given to poor sinners who have a hope in his mercy I remembered you, he says, on Calvary's cross. Now you remember me. May you be enabled to hear him in that word, and leaning upon his all-sufficient grace to honour him, your almighty King and Saviour, in walking in that way, out of love to your Saviour who's done so much for you. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach on Friday evening and Mr. Timothy Parrish next Lord's Day, and also to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn number 418. 418. To our Redeemer's glorious name, awake the sacred song. Oh, may his love, immortal flame, tune every heart and tongue. Hymn 418.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship around thy word this afternoon. Give us ears to hear what thou dost say, and hearts to believe, and feet to obey and follow. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care. Grant thy help, Lord, in the evening hour of worship, in yonder cause. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost be with us now and abide with us forever. Amen.